helped us to encounter grace, that grace is to be experienced. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Grace is to be experienced. And the Christmas story is very much about that, is the world experience the Christ child who grew, and in his ministry as a rabbi, a young Orthodox teacher, he began to transition their minds away from the law and into grace. And we know that when Paul talks about Christmas, it's all about what we heard in the with the children in the children's message to us this morning. It's all about making us his sons. So God sent himself as a son to bring us into sonship.
Amen.
And not only sonship, because once you're sons, we're heirs. H-E-I-R-S. Heirs means we have the inheritance now. In the Jewish tradition and culture, once a child was born into your family, they immediately owned a part of the father's business. Amazing. They literally owned it. And of course, as they grew up, they could enjoy that right to be joint owners. And so that's what we are. We're joint heirs with Christ. And we just thank God for the baby Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
We thank God that God didn't just think of grace as something that was, you know, something to just tell us about. He actually came, and grace is to be experienced. So in 2017, that's what we're going to have as our theme for the year. Grace is to be experienced.
Amen.
It's very interesting, because when he came, it said the disciples experienced grace upon grace upon grace. And the message that Jesus first read from Isaiah 61, when he was, it could have been his first sermon in the synagogue at Nazareth. The message was that there would be great grace, profuse grace, dektos grace, which means unbelievable, amazing grace would be given to mankind. So it's really something special. We had a Christmas party last night for some of the members of the church, the ones that have come, the refugees that have come from Iran. So if we look a bit tired, you'll know, we didn't get much sleep last night. Anyway, we had a wonderful time, about 40 of us, and it was a good time. It was a good time just being with each other. So let's enjoy this message, and it's called Grace is to be Experienced. And let's just go now to our first slide. And our first slide is, thank God for the coming of Jesus into this world. What grace it was. Amazing grace. Press the next one. Next little. Yep. Well, there you go. You had something down there. And the next one. And the next one. There's three. So there you go. And then Jesus grew to be a man. And at the age of 30, began his ministry. And as he began his ministry, it was just full of grace and truth. Amazing. You know, the first thing he did, he went to a wedding. And in that wedding, they were running out of wine, which meant the marriage would be called off. If the young man couldn't provide, the bride would not marry him. And so, you know, when you think of us as the bride of Christ, you know, we are married to Christ, because it says in the Messianic Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, so you think of all these things, beautiful things we've learned. But so he grew, and he died, and showed amazing grace for us, and gave us an amazing inheritance. So grace is to be experienced. Let's go to slide two. I'm doing all this in about 20 minutes. This will be a miracle for me too. Now, the passage I've chosen for our Christmas message is different than ever before, and I've never preached this sermon in the church before, but it really struck me when I was looking at Galatians about 2 weeks ago about when the proper time had fully come. And the proper time was that the Roman Empire now had roads, and it had security on its roads, and the message of this good news of Jesus could go all out into the then known world. And there was a few other things. John the Baptist had been born, so he was a precursor to Jesus. There was a couple of other things that made it it says fullness of time, whereas this Amplified says proper time had fully come. So all the prophecies had been leading up to this point, etc., the writings of Moses, the Psalms, etc., and then Jesus comes. Sent his son, born of a woman, born subject to the regulations of the law. So he understood what it was to be under law as a child. And he had to fulfill all those regulations. And he was born of a woman just like us. All of us were born of a woman, right? So this was not a theophany or a Christophany. You know what that means, guys? Christophany means like a hallucinatory appearance or seeing like an angel or seeing a vision. He wasn't. He was very man. Isn't that great? He was born of a woman just like you were born from your mum and just like I was born from my mum. So that shows us that Jesus was not just a sort of a vision, or not just like a what's that musical where the guy is a phantom, the Phantom of the Opera. You know, he's not a phantom. He actually was a real person, born of a woman. And the reason Paul says it's beautiful, because he tells us why Jesus came like that. Can we read verse 5 together? To purchase the freedom of, to ransom, to redeem those who were subject to the law, that we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us and be recognized as God's son. So this beautiful story that really, I suppose there's lots of ways of, if I was to ask you, why did Jesus come? Some could say, well, you know, John 3:16, to save us from our sins, to save the world. That's true. Paul gives his definition because he has a reason for doing that, because some of them were wanting to go back into the law. So he says, Jesus came to shake us, deliver us from self-effort, to deliver us from all the traditions of the law. You know, all those things, all those props that was self-effort. And so Jew and Gentile, later on in verse 6 and 7, or verse 8, he goes on and he talks about that. Next slide. And because you really are his sons, God has sent the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So why did Jesus come? Paul says, to free us from the law, okay, to make us sons, and in our hearts, the Spirit would cry, Abba, Father, and we would echo back, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave then to self-effort, to performance, to striving, to stressing. We're no longer in that. Okay? And we have become a son. And a son is totally different than a servant. Now, girls, you're in this because twice in the New Testament talks about sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. Yeah. So, the Jews would mention sons because, you know, like the Chinese, sons seemed to be more important in those days than the girls. But in these days, we understand neither male nor female, bond or free, we are all one. You know, we're all important. And but we're heirs as well. And this heirage, as I said before, was actually to be found in this life and then a future life, an eternal life, ahead of us. All right, let's go to the next one, number 5. We're going real good. Now, what we're going to do in this is start off then and have a look at the back and the front of our sermon. Here we go. So the first thing I thought of, this is like the prodigal son. The prodigal son comes home. Did you hear that word, son? The prodigal son comes home. And guess what? He thinks he's not good enough to be a son. He thinks he should be a slave. That the father will only want him as a slave. Do you know what? The father wouldn't hear anything of that. He said, no way, no way. You are always my son, whether you've been wrong or whether you've been right. You are always my son. Yeah. And so he treated him as a son. He puts a ring on his finger, and you know all the things. He puts a coat of honor on him. Now, the Jewish people found that very difficult because they thought you had to earn your right to be righteous. We don't earn our right to be righteous. Jesus earned it for us. Hallelujah. We don't earn the right to be blessed. Jesus blessed us in heavenly places with all the riches of his grace. It's amazing. So you know, everything we are comes through his grace to be experienced through the baby Jesus. And that's what we are in Christ. All right. So think of the prodigal son. Now let's go to the next part. Look what the son said. I'll get up and I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants. Now, that word servant is a double for slave. Some slaves were paid a few pennies, or not even a few pennies, but they were given food and water and accommodation, but no money. Other slaves were paid a pittance. A pittance means very small amount. Not enough to save money to build your own house or to buy yourself out of slavery. If the master was really good, he might give them, look after them in a future time when they were old, if he was a really nice master. But the idea of a slave was they had no rights whatsoever. And Jesus came, we had no rights to belong to the God family. We had no rights to have his divine presence in us. But the good news of the gospel, what makes it so good, is that we now have, through Jesus, the right to be called sons of God. Praise God. It's amazing. It's amazing. So amazing. All right, now, I'm just going to use the back of your notes. So if you want to turn to the little portion at the back, which has got this baby Jesus with Mary and Joseph there. And I just want to go to slide 6. Yeah, note the contrast now between the servant or a slave and a son. Just looking at the contrast. Okay, so the first slide in slide 6 is, shall we read this together? The son has the same nature as the father, but the servant slave does not. So now we'll read together number 1, and I thought if you can read with me, it's Christmas Day, that'll help me keep focused too. All right, the son has the same nature as the father, number 1. But the servant slave does not. Together, when we trust Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. This means we are partakers of the divine nature. The law could never give a person God's nature within. All it could do was to reveal to the person his desperate need for God's nature. If a believer goes back into law, they are denying the very divine nature within and giving the old nature, the flesh and self-effort, opportunity to go to work. So the great difference is the slave could never look up at his master and say, Daddy, can you get me an ice cream? Daddy, can you take me to the beach? Daddy, can I have the day off? Daddy, can I please have my wedding anniversary day off? You know, can I please have my birthday? They just worked 365 days a year for nothing. It was all about work, doing what the master wants. And you know, many of us have come out of churches like that, where the church was all about service and working. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it wasn't about reigning and being a son and being part and joint heirs. So there you go, that's the first one. So the first one is, we have a different nature. Shall we give the Lord a hand for that? We have a different nature. Next slide. Next slide is number 7, and it's number 2. Well, there you go. Look, there's a little girl. And this guy down here, this guy looks like the boss, you know, sitting in his chair, and he, you do this, you do that for me, make sure you do this, make sure you do that, and you clean up and after us, after our party, you look after this and you do that, you know. There's a boss with his finger pointing, you know. And this one, I don't know, you kids might know who that is. You don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. But he says, I'm the boss, and he's doing nothing, you know. But there's another one up there where the father is there, and he's talking to his little daughter before she goes to school. And he's saying, have a nice day. Have a lovely day. You know, I'll be thinking about you during the day. I have experienced this when I had three little children, and when we went to Singapore, it was wonderful. Let's read number two and see what it says. Can you give another flick? Yeah, here we go. So we'll read this. The son has a father, while the servant slave has a master. That's different. So for us as God's sons, we have his nature, like father, like son. We also do not have a master or a tyrant. We have a loving father who is concerned about our upbringing and our welfare. Amen? And he's not expecting us to go and become a slave for him. That's so different. So different of understanding about God. That's what Jesus taught when he taught the parable of the prodigal son. All right, let's read number two. Okay, no servant could ever say father to his master. When the sinner trusts Christ, they receive the Holy Spirit within. And the Spirit tells them they have been adopted as a mature. That word mature is really important. Let's keep reading. They have partaken of a completed, finished work by Christ. The Spirit says, Abba, Father. And in response, the believer cries, Abba, Father. The word Abba is an Aramaic word that is the equivalent of our English word, Papa. This shows the closeness of the newborn son to the father. No servant slave had a father. They had a father. The whole family may be in servitude. And they could call their own father. But the father was also in slavery. And I suppose, you know, it's true of the church worldwide. Much of the church has gone back to tradition or gone back to losing focus of what Jesus has really done for us. And so there comes servitude and weariness. And the only way to do that is to opt out. But for us, we opt in 100%. You know why? Because we have found the love of a father in our lives. You know, a lot of people say, what drives you, Percy? Well, I can tell you, it's not the Holy Spirit. He doesn't drive me. It's not the Father. He doesn't drive me. It's not my human personality that drives me. I am Akaluthio, like Dan said a couple of Sundays ago. I am walking and enjoying what he's got for me. Yes. I'm walking with him. That's what the word follow means. Amen. All right, let's go to the next one. Thanks. All right. The son ministers out of what? Together. The son ministers out of love, while the servant serves out of fear. Frightened that daddy will be upset with them if they do something wrong. Do you get it? So, you know, for us, Christmas is very special. We're not frightened if we don't read our Bible first thing in the morning every week, that daddy's going to sort of get upset with us and not want to bless us. I'm telling you, daddy, the daddy love of our Father God through Jesus always wants to bless us. It is a profuse blessing. It's so profuse. It's grace upon grace upon grace. Now that's why we have favor time in our church. And in all the branches, we have favor time. And favor time is not a time to get up and preach your message. Favor time is the time to share how God has favored you during the week with something. So that's why we have it, because we believe this will be a mark of a grace church. The people in it will be continually being blessed. I must say to you that this year I have felt blessings of God in my life more than ever before. This year has been such a blessing. You know, seeing God open doors rather than us try to push them open. Seeing God open doors for us. All right. So we'll read the third one, shall we? The son ministers out of a relationship of love and being loved, while the servant slave obeys out of fear. In the believer, together, shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Spirit. And when they realize they have been forgiven forever and are called the beloved, it is so natural for them to minister love to God and to mankind. He who is forgiven much loves much. Do you know in the Old Testament, everyone, this is just a small family of us this morning. Let me just share this. You know, in the Old Testament, the first commandment was, I think it was this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love. You must love. Grace is not that. Grace says, I've put my nature in there. Part of my nature is love, and it's been shed abroad in your hearts. So what was burdensome becomes light and easy and delightful. It becomes a want to, not a have to. Do you get it? This is so good about the grace message. I wish I was speaking to several thousand in Brisbane today, telling them the real reason for the season. I thought about this next year. I'm going to get a video projector, you know, they're pretty cheap, and I'm going to put a big screen, a sheet up, and I've got a one of those tent things, you know, gazebo, and I'm going to have it there and have it on every night, because our whole street is magnificently lit up with lights, you know? Oh, beautiful Christmas light. Not one word of Jesus. Nothing about Jesus. But Jesus is the reason, as they say, for the season. So I'm going to just put it up without comment and just there. Both sides of my house is Muslims, and I'm sure they will enjoy it too. They believe Jesus was a prophet, but they don't believe Jesus is our Savior, which is totally different. But Paul says he came to bring us into God's family, to make us sons and heirs. How? This is a good place to preach, you know. It's easy to speak. Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. I'm doing very well. Okay. The son is rich. Is that right? While the servant slave is poor. Let's read it in our notes together. Believers are both sons and heirs. Or girls, you could put sons, daughters, and heirs. And since we are adopted, placed as adult sons in the family, we can begin drawing on our inheritance right now. Give him a hand for that, please. That is amazing. Like, you know, one of these is so good, you know, when you take the bread and the wine. To me now, as a grace Christian, and I can say that after 6 years now of studying every day and just sort of for, you know, for sermons and for Bible school and stuff like that, the one wonderful thing I've found in grace is that, you know, I am forever forgiven. So that has brought so much freedom into my life. Not freedom to sin, but freedom from the sadness and condemnation of sin. I've been freed from that. And I can walk month after month, year after year now, not feeling enticed in any way in my mind, word or deed, into sin. That's a beautiful freedom. You know, and the other thing is knowing that I have become in Christ all that God requires me to be. He sees me as a righteous person. Oh, give him a hand, please. It's fantastic. The sad thing is that the servant never had this beautiful relationship. The beautiful thing is we do have a wonderful relationship with our Jesus to the Father. So we call him Abba Father. Let's read and see what it says. Believers are both sons and heirs, and since we are adopted, placed as adult sons in the family, we can begin drawing on our inheritance right now. Next sentence. God has made us available to us the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory, and the riches of his goodness, and the riches of his wisdom. And all of the riches of God are found in Christ. Give him a hand, please. Hallelujah. You know, can I tell you, talk about giving at Christmas time. The church this year has given nearly $200,000. Our church has received through tithes and offerings and that. But have we ever once asked you to tithe or give offerings? Never. Never. I think the closest I get to that as your senior pastor is to say, let's invest in the message of grace. But we just want to thank you, Diane and I want to thank you as husband and wife for giving us the joy of being in this beautiful family. You know, we love the church, we love everyone, and the church has grown despite our Christmas service looking a bit frail on it, but you don't look frail, I tell you. But we bless God that the branches have grown, and we go into the next year planting in groups of other people's hearts, 4 more churches in the first 2 months. You know, we bless God for that. We bless God for that. It's fantastic. But people, Nick, this coming year, I want to talk to you about you personally experiencing, okay, God's grace. Not just knowing about it, being part of the joy of it. Because you are a son, you're a daughter, you're an heir in the family. Last one. Well, I'm doing great. Even though I say it myself. The son, I love this. This one. The son has a grace supply to reign now and in eternity. Okay. The servant slave does not. Even though, as I said, some masters did provide housing after, like, they didn't call it retirement, but when the person got too old to physically work. 1/3 of the Roman Empire had slaves. 1/3 of Europe was in slavery. Amazing. You were one of those, yes. Slaves. In China, there were slaves. In the history in China, there were slaves. So major empires of the world, a lot of people had no rights whatsoever. And it's really interesting, because we were in self-effort, because we were in our own, like Gentiles often had pagan gods who were not gods at all. Idol worship. The Jews had, we don't want to hear your voice. We don't want to be priests and kings to you. We will do, we can do, we can do, we can do whatever you want. We can do. They shut God right out. So they got into slavery. They missed this beautiful relationship. Can I softly ask you this? It's hard to be soft voiced when such good acoustics. At the lunch table today, in your Christmas dinner today, or when you meet with your friends, especially today, would you just remember these 5 things? You are a son, a daughter. You are an heir. You have a daddy who loves you incredibly. He has come through Christ to deliver you from self-effort and tradition and religious law. He's come to put right things on your heart, which cause you to be a want-to person, not a have-to person. That's amazing for the family. You know, when I see the Barclay family, you know, I was brought up in a big family. And to think that you guys can hear the message that God doesn't say you have to love him, but he'll put in your heart, because of his goodness, he'll chase after you with goodness, so that you just can't help but say, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. It's really great. It's really, really great. All right, so I think, if I got another slide left or not? Can you try me? Ah, yeah, here it is, last slide. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more, everyone say much more. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life. Glory to God. Through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed. Give Jesus a hand, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Christmas, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you we've been able to experience grace, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. We love you so much. We love you. Wow, I enjoyed sharing that with you. It's just a little sermonette. It just shows you I don't have to preach an hour. I can preach 2 hours. Let's believe God for his blessing. Just close your eyes and just raise your hands and believe for God's blessing. Father, every head that's bowed and eye closed and every hand that's raised, bless this person. Each one, Lord. You're around about us. You're in us. You know our thoughts and hearts. Bless every family. And we pray for the rest of our dear brothers and sisters in New Creation, Tennis and Branch. We pray your blessings on them this day. And we thank you for safety during the holiday time. During travel, during air travel, Lord. Many people have gone on this morning's flight. About 10 of them from our church have gone down to Melbourne today. Lord, bless every train flight, every train track and train journey and car journey and airplane flight, Lord. May they be safe and well. Father, thank you for giving our police the wonderful opportunity to foil that plot that was against us this Christmas with St. Paul's Cathedral going to be bombed, Lord, and for the station, Lord, there to be bombed, Lord. We've used that station several times, Lord, and down there in Melbourne, and also, Lord, for their centre part, Lord, where they have their sort of centre square. Lord, thank you for safety in our country, Lord. We thank you for the book that Pastor Prince has written on He is our hiding place. He is our safe refuge, Lord. We're just enjoying that book. So pray for joy to bubble up in all our hearts. And everyone said, amen. Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas to you all. Fantastic.